Good morning. Are you excited to come back? Yes? Actually didn't look like. Today is the Lord's Day, so we wait for almost 6 days, anticipate and prepare our heart to come before the throne of God. Of course, the throne of God is everywhere, but today we set a special day that we rest. We don't have to go to school, go to work. And we spend time to draw closer to God. I mean, and that's why we're supposed to be like, as a Christian, when we say we love God, we should be kind of excited to come back here in a sanctuary to get together, brother and sister here, to worship God together. You know, besides what Peter said, you know, before the throne of God, we come to God to confess ourselves. At the same time, we meditate, we contemplate on the love of God, on the salvation. And see, and that's why everybody is supposed to be here, kind of like, should be excited, motivated, right? I know you're tired, but give me some face. Like, come on. Good. See, yes, that's good. Today we talk about a topic, which is, will you retreat? Now, this title of sermon may introduce two questions. Will you retreat? That means, will you go to our church retreat this year, which will be August 16 to 18. So it's coming very soon. You know, time flies. You know, beginning of 2019, and just like this, is we almost into May, and then June will be 6 months, half a year passed. So number one, this question is, are you prepared to join our annual church retreat this year? And second, this sermon title asks you, do you know how to retreat? That means, what is a retreat means to you? Now, retreat in a military term is a withdrawal of forces following a defeat or preceding a change of position. But in a spiritual term, the simplest form of retreat means to withdraw or draw back. Now, throughout the ages, the Christian tradition has understood retreat to be an important part of what we call spiritual formation. That is, time consciously set aside for God, a change of focus, a deliberate act of stepping outside of a normal routine by withdrawing, not running away, but withdrawing from the noise and pressures, the immediate and insistent claims of our social, domestic, and workaday responsibility in order to be in a quiet place where all our senses, our focus, you know, and our senses are open and ready to listen to God. That's what retreat is about. Now, someone spoke of this as like retreat as a nurturing with intent, running around with intent. Now, I think going equipped would be a kind of like more modern phrase, meaning the same. Now tell me, how and when can you do this kind of thing? You know, get away, you know, withdraw or like draw back. Maybe you think about, oh, go for a camping trip. I think some of you go for a camping trip once a year. Now go for a camping trip and in the countryside where you can find at least some kind of like quietness. And you have that solitude, like spend time alone and with God. Or you go for a nature walk and see the wonderful creation of God and spend time to see how God created all these wonderful things and you meditate on this. Or you rest and take a family vacation. Yeah, simply, I think most of us here always can do it like a every year you go out with family to take whatever, you know, out of town or local. It's so nice to be here. I mean, it's this country is we are so kind of blessed. We can plan at least one vacation a year, right? In the old days, when where resources are limited, people had to work hard. They had to work 360 days. Back in the old days in Hong Kong, this older generation, they don't really rest. They only rest during the Chinese New Year for the first 4 days. And the rest, they work. But now here, everybody take vacation. So maybe vacation is kind of like a retreat to you. Or simply, you go to a retreat, of the church, and focus on God and spend time with the community of faith. Now, well, you may have done this. You have kind of like participated in a retreat, all kind of retreat. But tell me, going to a retreat, did you really rest and said, oh, yeah, I have an undivided attention on God and with God? I mean, what about you went to a church retreat? Have you found yourself refreshed, regenerated every time, and you being convicted after the retreat? Every time? Tell me, every time? Or because the retreat was usually short, you know, our church is only about like 40 hours. 2 nights, 2 days, 40 hours. So because of the duration of the retreat is so short, that's why there's a lot of expectation. And the end of the retreat has become an kind of intensive workshop. Very intensive. With a lot of programs. And simply, because of this, people came out and even feel more tired than before you went into retreat. Can you share this experience? Do you feel tired sometimes? You know, yeah, too, right? You wake up, you stay late at night, and then you kind of talk a lot, and you play a lot, and then you have to listen to a lot of sermon, and then, really tired. Particularly when you go on a longer trip, like 2 or 3 hours drive, even the adult is kind of like not enjoying it because we're tired. When Uncle Peter went to a Las Vegas trip, you know, and he said he's tired because of the driving. You know, I know it's not really rest. Of course, you know, going to a retreat does help the growth of Christian spirituality. When we are being able to listen to the Word of God in a kind of like pressure-free environment, you know, no pressure. You don't have to cook, and you don't have to go to school. You don't have no homework. You concentrate, which is good. However, so many retreats that we had gone to, and gradually, it becomes just another retreat. We go to a retreat because there's no more space to withdraw or to draw back. And even when we get some good things or conviction from the retreat, they can only last for a little while. Like every New Year resolution that we have made, usually average people can only keep that kind of like resolution for 12 days in average. The 13th day, they all forget about it. We may resolve some of our spiritual problems during the retreat, but very soon our life go back to the state of recession. Spiritual life seems to go through a process of recurring. We face a spiritual low, and then we resurrected at Easter. And then we fall back into the deep valley again. Kind of like repeat and repeating. And I ask you, it is a common phenomenon for Christians. It is a common phenomenon. Or you may experience that. I love these words, which is Psalm 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nation. I will be exalted in the earth. I think this is a good reminder for every Christian of what to do in a retreat. Be still and don't forget who is your God. Now, in order that we don't ignore or forget, we must first know how to be still. Be still. The original Hebrew word of still is Rapha. Rafah is actually interpreted as hands off, cease, do not do anything. Now, I like Eugene Peterson, Reverend Eugene Peterson, he passed away. He interpreted the whole Bible kind of using the dilemma equivalent, meaning that he used a modern sense of, like, not literally interpret the Bible, and he interpreted this word, be still and know that I am God, and he interpreted it this way in the Message Bible. It said, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, about politics, about everything, which is easy to understand. Step out of the traffic. Too busy, right? Now, you know, 880, you know, 580, whatever. Every time it's got traffic jam. So step out of the traffic and take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above all politics, above everything. Now, the background of the writing of Psalm 46 is in the scenes of war and national chaos. Now, when the people of God faced the attacks from the powerful enemies, and they were so scared, so afraid that they seem to have forgotten who was the one who cared for them and blessed them. The Israelites not only rely on their own effort, they even rely on other nations, other foreign power, and their gods to fight for survival. Of course, we know about what's the result. The result was a subsequent oppression and curse. Therefore, this verse has two main teachings. Be still and know that I am God. The main teaching, number one, you need when to stop and be still. Number two, you need to know who is the one fight for you and bring victory to you. Who is the one? With that said, to be still is also a call for rest. Rest. And that's why in the Chinese Union version, the Chinese translation of this verse is 你们要休息，知道我是上帝。 You know how to rest. Resting is to know that your ability is limited. Resting is to regain your strength after you have tried your best to your ability. Resting is to know that what you can do is also limited. You know to let others to share the work in order to keep it going. Resting is a call for time out, to take time for evaluation, to reorganize, to change course. This is what's resting. However, I think simply resting does not mean Christian or believers will be drawn closer to God. But on the other hand, simply fill up the time of retreat with programs, activities, without a quiet time of rest before God will also defeat the purpose of a retreat. So, by saying all this, you know, what is the significance of a retreat? What is a good retreat to us? Now, there is a key word in the Bible about rest. Guess what is this word always appear in the Bible? Rest. Which is, start with S. Sabbath. Sabbath. The Bible said God blessed the seventh day and make it holy. Now, being holy, this day is called the Sabbath day for the Jewish people. Being holy is to set aside a time and attribute the time to God. Now, when you give something to someone, you are no longer own it, right? So that means when you give the day to God, it's no longer yours, but become God's time, God's day. It becomes the day, his day. It's become a day of his blessing, a sacred day. Therefore, On the Sabbath, the Jewish people, the tradition for the Jewish people, the Sabbath is on Saturday. But Christian, we rest on Sunday, which we call the Lord's Day, because it's appeared in the Revelation. It's called the Lord's Day. Now, it's not just a day of rest. Sabbath is not just a day of rest per se. Resting is only a small part of its preparation. Now, when we can practice of keeping the Sabbath, we can always find sometime a day, a resting day, to refocus and to reset our priorities of life so that we can be organized. Our calendar. I mean, I'm not sure whether you have like a lot of things in your calendar. I think so. SAT, because I kind of like lose track about like SAT final. Pastor Samuel know more about me, about you, because I'm actually from overseas. I'm not here. I'm from overseas. So I haven't know exactly the schedule. Even my son and daughter, sometimes I know they are busy, but I don't know what they're busy for. But only before, I think before they went to college, they do a lot of like exam tests. But it's a long time, so I forgot. Anyway, I know you may have been very busy, but take time to kind of the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day, is to take time to reorganize so that you know exactly, again, to organize, to prioritize your life. Now let me explain to you why we can kind of, taking a Sabbath, the Lord's Day, we can kind of do this. Now, the Jews did not give any independent name for the other 6 days of the week. You know that? But the Jewish people only named them in this day with the Sabbath. For example, Sunday is called the first day after the Sabbath. The Monday is called the second day of the Sabbath. There's no Monday. There's no Sunday. Everything is kind of tied with the Sabbath. Now, the Babylonians named the days after the five planetary bodies known to them at that time, besides the sun and the moon. So we have Sunday and Moon Day, which is Monday. Got it? This custom was later adopted by the Emperor Constantine. He established 7 days a week in the Roman calendar in 321 AD and designated Sunday and Monday as the first 2 days of the week. The other weekday name in English actually are derived from the Anglo-Saxon name for the gods. So Tuesday, Wednesday is actually the name of the gods of the ancient Anglo-Saxons. Now, someone once said, if the Sabbath is the climax of the week, we will spend 3 days to prepare this day to come. Like we greet the bride, we prepare to greet the bride, and then spending 3 days after that to remember this day, meaning that after we marry, they marry, they enjoy, they have the joy of the wedding. That is anticipation from first day through Saturday, and then celebrate on the Sabbath, the rest day, and then take 3 days from Monday to Wednesday for reflection. You understand what I mean? And then repeat it. Meaning the whole 7 day week, they focus not the 6 days. Instead, they focus on that main, the Lord's Day for Christian, the Sabbath for the Jews. As a matter of fact, Sabbath is not set for the rest of the weekdays, but rather those they are set for the Sabbath. You come here, I ask you, are you excited? You seem like you are not excited. Suppose to what I'm trying to preach is that, you know, 3 days for kind of prepare, feel very excited. And then we excited on that day. Wow, come on. And then you, after that, you go back to school, you go back to work, but you kind of like meditate. You kind of like enjoying the joy of draw closer to God. Come to the throne of God, you feel so happy about it. But look at you. You don't seem like you're doing that. And that's why we need to practice what it means by coming to the Lord, coming to church on the Lord's Day. Just like the Jewish people, they celebrate the Sabbath. Therefore, Sabbath is not the episode of life, but Sabbath is the climax. Now, if we can practice these 3 days of preparation in order to welcome the joy of rest, and then the 3 days of enjoying the benefits of rest, our whole week after today will be transformed. You understand this kind of theology? You understand this kind of practice as a Christian to come to on Sunday? Of course, we worship God every day, but why we set a day on Sunday to come to church to worship God? Because not only we see each other as a brother and sister in Christ, but because we love God. We want to see Him. We want to experience His presence, particularly in the community of faith. And that's what it means. So when we come to the Sabbath on the time or the time of retreat, we stop from the usual schedule or busy homework, assignments, activities, and we rest. We rest. And when we rest and be still, we celebrate the covenant that God has established with His people. And at the same time, we recognize that God is almighty and He is a living God. He is our creator God. This is the time that we remember that. Who is He? He's your God. He's my God. He's the God of 4C Church. He's the God of all Christians. He's a God of creation. But we forgot. When God said to Moses, He said, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generation to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who make you holy." Exodus chapter 31, 13 to 14. The Sabbath was originally a mark, an evidence, or we call it an imprint of His people. This sign is a pause. This sign for them, for people to see, is that the people of God, they pause to work, which is to stop the need for achievement. These people set apart a day. They stop the need for achievement. They stop the needs of production. They stop the needs for high efficiency that bring along worries and tensions, to stop the desires of controlling, to stop the influence or assimilation of the current culture and trends. They stop the cell phone. They stopped all this. And they stopped the meaninglessness because of the absence of God, who's supposed to be the center of life. They stop. Of course, unlike the Jewish people, I think it's still a Sabbath in this modern day. I was told in New York, when they're living in a kind of top, a high-rise building, apartment, maybe they have 50-story. If they are living in the top floor, the penthouse, they were in trouble on the Sabbath day, because on that particular day, the elevator, the lift, will stop on every floor, because no one is allowed to touch. Because when you touch, you are doing the work. So they all come in, go inside the lift and wait for 1, 2, 3, 4, until they stop to 54 top floor. But this is not exactly like this. But the thing is, it is kind of the meaning behind it is that you stop.
You stop the needs of kind of controlling, the desire controlling. You stop that kind of meaninglessness because the absence of God inside you. And at the same time, you are not stopping this, but kind of like actively, you participate on that day, particular day in the community, and to cherish the time of togetherness. Like today, we come together as a brother and sister in Christ. We treasure that time. We embrace each other. We embrace the joy. We embrace the joy of also our calling from God. And we start every Sunday like this. We remember that God gives us so much. So we learn to give rather than to take. The Sabbath is to tell us that God is our God. He is the God who keeps the covenant and He loves us so much. It allows us to know that God cares for us, but doesn't make us passive and lazy. Doesn't mean God say you stop and be still, you do nothing and be lazy. This is not the meaning. But to make us freely to give up, to try to play God. We pretend to be God. We can pretend to control everything, like we expect what it will happen. Stop that. Having said so much, what does the Sabbath really mean to us? What the Sabbath really brings to us? Today, when we face the chaotic situation of society, maybe even in school, the pressure of work or study, and even the ministry of the church, how many times do we think that this is my work, this is my church, this is my neighbor? How many times do we build our value on the work and the things we do? Me, it's about me, brings ambition, bring pride. And with that, we become a hypocrite. Sugar-coated with a religious appearance and Christian jargons, but without the accents of spiritual life. This generation is a me generation. We tend to forget a lot of things. We forget our obligation, our responsibilities, our honor to people, our honor to parents, our honor to God. We come here, we take what we like what we do in a buffet, like sweet tomato. I don't know, this day, sweet tomato. We take. We come to church. We try to be kind of look like a Christian. And then God become our rubber stamp. But without talking to Him very much. I mean, without talking to God a lot. We ask God when we come to a time that we are in trouble, in a situation that is very difficult. We cannot be out of control. We pray to God. We talk to God. Maybe we talk about God, but we never talk to God. That's a problem. Who is God to you? So what I'm trying to say here, the significance of retreat is to make people, remember that, the significance of retreat is to make people discover the work of God in their lives again. And I will say, every Lord's Day, every Sunday, when we come to the church to worship God, is also a practice of doing this, is to recover, is to discover the work of God in your life. Every time when you come to God, is to discover the work of God in your life. The discovery and the rest came to the New Testament. These two things, discover and rest, come to the New Testament and became a signpost to learn about Christ, our Lord Jesus. Because Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord of Sabbath. Luke chapter 6:5. It turned out that people can be truly sanctified and truly blessed and truly discover the work of God can only be when you are in Jesus, when you are in Christ. Jesus is the bridge between man and God. Sabbath is no exception. The function and meaning of the Sabbath is fully manifest, in our Lord Jesus. The focus is no longer just about rest, or egoistically saying, oh, mechanically, we stop everything, we don't do anything. Nor it is about enjoyment of the flesh. It is about in Christ or not in Christ. So the question once again is that, are you in Christ? Or are you not in Christ? Very basic, right? Paul always said in Christ. But this, we need time to contemplate, to kind of meditate on it. What does it mean in Christ to you? Are you abiding in Christ? Are you abiding in the Word of God? Are you abiding in the truth? Are you abiding in the community? You have to think about that. So, this is important that you ask this question. Christ is the one. Christ allows us to rediscover God. Because through Jesus, people can know God clearly. Jesus is our greatest rest. He is the Lord of Sabbath. Because Jesus promised people that He is the greatest comfort. He gives us rest. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. His promise in Matthew chapter 11, 28. I will give you rest. Now, pay attention to it. Jesus does not say, if you are laboring and burdensome, you can rest. But rather He said, everyone who is burdened and weary, you need to come to me. Remember that. You need to go to Jesus. Go to Him. And it takes action. That means you have to go from where you are now to where Jesus is here over there. So in other words, it is from here to there. You need to go to Jesus. It's not from like what we're trying to say, it's from here go to reach out. It's also our Christian life is always have to go to Jesus, because the rest is only in Jesus. It's about me to Him. It's no more me, but Him. And then we abide in Jesus, so that we can truly rest in Christ, in trust and in obedience, to be able that we can discover the work and the grace of God and to reorganize or renew our life in the midst of our busyness. I think this is the meaning of a Christian retreat. Now, more than 3 months will be the day of 4C Church Retreat in August, right? And this year, I'm asking, are you willing to join us and to go to Jesus again? Go and check this out. Go and spend time with God in a quietness. Where is God in my life at that moment? Do I know who He is? Do I understand what is God mean? This is the question you always have to ask. And particularly when you go to a retreat, you ask yourself this honestly, sincerely, and truthfully. Where is God in my life? Where I put God? Somewhere? With only a period of more than 40 hours in a retreat, through prayer of listening, through the listening of His Word, and to quietly listen to the sharing between your brother and sister in Christ, and then once again, you discover the Word of God in your life. And at the same time, practice know-how to be in Christ and focus that holy hours you set aside for God only, and learn how God can become the greatest and ultimate joy of your life. Are you prepared? Are you willing to come? So this retreat is about here today and require our actions. Then, are you willing to prepare? How to prepare? Every Sunday, when you come to God. Because when you practice well on every Lord's Day, you prepare. You will have a good retreat. Because you focus. You refocus. You discover and you rediscover the work of our God in our lives. And He is a wonderful God. Loving God who keep the promise. Never fail. Though we fail, but God never fail. May the word of God bless every one of us here.